Father, we just thank you once again for your love for us, for your hand upon our lives, for your provision for everything we have need of pertaining to this life and to godliness. We thank you for your precious written word. We give you praise and honor and glory. We pray that the Holy Spirit would draw out what we need to see tonight. Be magnified in this time, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and look in Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And we'll just start in verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, and the ninth hour. And a certain man," when it says a certain man like that, this isn't a parable. It's not like a story that he's telling. This actually happened. "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb," so he had never ever walked, "was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple." So every day this man was here. Every day he was laid at the gate. And it was their habit to go to the temple to pray at the certain hour, at 9 o'clock. "And his purpose was to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them." Now, what is faith? It's a confident expectation, isn't it? Is that right? Does it sound like this man had faith? He had faith for something. He expected to receive something. I don't necessarily know that it was healing. He went with the purpose of alms, but he was expecting to receive something. Amen? But I want to look here too in verse 6. It says, "And Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have.'" So he knew that was his expectation, that he was going to receive silver and gold. But he says, "I don't have that. But what I do have, I give to you." So he did have something. He knew he had something. He had confidence in what he had. And he had confidence that what he had, he could give. Amen? And so we need to know that what we have, we can give. Amen? And that we have been given something, and it belongs to us, not just for us, but for others as well. God has purposed everything he gives to us to be multiplied into the kingdom of God. So he said, "And Peter said to him, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but I do have, I give to you. In the name,'" what did he have? The name. "The name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, if you know Acts 10:38, let's look at that, because that kind of tells us a little bit about what that name represents. If you have something in the name of Bozo, what's your expectation? Not much, right? Floppy shoes or a big red nose. But not a whole lot. You're not expecting much because of who represents that name, right? So what we need to find out is what comes with the name. And if you read Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So God anointed him. He was anointed with what? The Holy Spirit and with power. So Jesus of Nazareth was anointed. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with power. And he went about doing good and healing. So that was the purpose of what he had. He healing what? All. not just a few, but all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So we know these things, that he was anointed. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with power. That he was purposed. He went about doing good. He went about healing. And that God was with him. Wherever he went, God went. Now we have some of those same promises that have been given to us, don't we? That he will never leave us nor forsake us. That the Holy Spirit abides within us. When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. Purposed, amen, to guide, direct, lead, instruct, fill, amen. So that on the inside of us, we have a wealth. We have the same wealth that Jesus of Nazareth had. How can I say that? Because he came as a man. He stripped himself of his deity. He laid everything aside. He came as a man. And we have to see that. We absolutely have to understand that if we're ever going to walk out and lay hands on somebody, lay hands on our children, lay hands on our neighbors, lay hands on our relatives, and know that there's going to be a transference of that anointing and that power into them to go about doing good and healing, just as Jesus did. This isn't a game. It's a commission, right? And God is not unfair. He's not unjust. He is not going to tell us to do something that we can't do. And we know that in Mark, what we've been told to do. We're to lay hands on the sick. And we're to expect to see them recover. Amen? It comes upon us, works through us for his glory. So verse 7. Well, let's just back up just a second. It says, reread 6. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's what he has. So he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones were made strong. They receive strength immediately. Amen. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Amen. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to him at the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" This is important that we understand that not just in laying hands on, but in prophetic words, in different giftings that God brings upon the body of Christ, on you and me, because he will use us if we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Amen? Right? We need to keep our hearts open and believe that we're usable vessels. Silver, gold, clay, stone, wood. There's vessels, some for good use and some for not so good use. Right? But either way, I want to be a vessel. I don't know about you. I want to be a vessel that whenever he wants to, he can grab hold of me and do, pour out of me what he has need of at the time. And we don't have time right now, but if we look at the gifts of the Spirit, and there's many, there's words of wisdom and knowledge, there's prophecy, there's a variety of gifts of healing and gifts of faith and different things, power gifts, and he wants to be able to use you and me. whenever he wants. There's a certain amount of faith that is necessary with that, right? I mean, Peter and John, they had faith. The man had faith that something was going to happen. He was expecting alms, but he had faith that they were going to be used to bless him. But they had faith that God would use them. What I have. You have to have faith in what you have, right? We can't make it up, and that's what gets some people in trouble, is they try to pull these gifts in for their glory. And we've seen some mighty men of God that have been used in a great way come down and disgrace the body of Christ in the process, trying to do things. Well, God used them in a great way, prophesying and with words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And it wasn't too many years ago when this one guy, he had a little thing in his ear, and they were transmitting messages to him by cards that had been filled out by people, and people were bringing messages forth to him. So it looked as though he had words of knowledge about these people, and they were like, oh, wow, and it's sick. It's absolutely sick when people bring the spirit realm down to the natural level. And why? Because what? It's pride? Isn't that what it amounts to? God used you in a great way, and you don't want to not be used, so then let's make something up. God can use you any day of the week. Amen? What you want to do is be available. You want to be a vessel that he can use whenever he desires to. So you want to be believing what? That the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. That you hear from the Spirit. Amen? Don't his children hear his voice? His sheep hear his voice? Right? And we're told that in John 10. And we have to accept that as truth, that God's word is true, that what he said and what he declared, we can hear him. We are led by him. We are empowered by him. And we just need to be sensitive, whatever way he wants to go. Amen? Is this making sense? You guys getting it? So, I know that there were times in my life where I didn't believe God would really use me. I could see him using somebody else, not me. I disqualified myself because I didn't think I was good enough. I didn't think I was sensitive enough. I didn't think I was qualified for it. And those kind of things will put you out of commission. God just wants us to say, okay, God, here I am. Use me. Whatever you want to use, use me. And you know, I look around and I know that God has used some of you preaching the gospel, people getting saved. And some have been used with the baptism of the Holy Spirit to pray for somebody else to receive that. Some have been used for healing, laying hands on people and healing. Amen? And I don't think there's anything more satisfying in my life than when God flows through me to be a blessing to somebody else. I think that's what we're created for, is to be vessels for God. Amen? To bring glory to him. But we need to, before we can come to that place, we need to begin to believe that he really can. Amen? So say this, I believe that God can use me, that I hear from God. I'm sensitive to his spirit, and I will move with him. Amen. It's just simple, simple, simple faith. I hear from God. I'm led by God, and he can use me. Amen. So Peter and James, awesome men that they were. But if we put them in their own little category, Just like if you put Jesus in his own little category, and he is, I'm not diminishing, he is unique. Amen. But the example is he came as a man, dependent upon God to hear from him, to be anointed from him, amen, to be led by him, just like we have to. And I thank God for that. But when it comes right down to it, if we jump up to verse 16, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, Peter's saying this now, has made this man strong, whom you see and you know. What made him strong? It's the name. And faith in the name. It wasn't just the name alone, but it was the name and faith in the name. So we need to release faith that that name is everything. That name is all powerful. That name is the name that everything has to submit to and come under. And he's given us that name. Yes, the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Amen. Aren't you glad? Does this sound too simple? It really does, doesn't it? I mean, really, when you bring it right down the nuts and the bolts of everything, salvation is simple, right? We just believe and receive, right? And you're saved. We don't have to work it out. We don't have to grunt it out. We don't have to do 100 Hail Marys or crawl on our knees in glass. Amen. We don't have to do a bunch of nonsense to work our way into this thing. We just have to believe. It's the same thing with healing. We don't need to complicate it. It's the same thing with being on the other end and ministering it out. We don't have to complicate it. It's through the name and faith in the name that this man was made whole. Amen. We've been given the name. What does that mean? Well, we already looked at the name of Jesus. We looked at the character of Jesus. We looked at what that name represented, that Jesus was anointed, that he was empowered, that he went about doing good, that he went about healing. Amen. That God was with him where he went. That's representing the name. But we are going to look at, I'm going to look at a couple things here. Let me just look at 4:7 before we go any further. Chapter 4 and verse 7. When he is on trial, kind of, the high priest and all that, they're questioning him. It says, and when they set him in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? That was their question. How was this man healed? By what power or by what name? They recognized that there was power, that there was a name that had to be named there. Amen? So we're going to look at authority over sickness and disease. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. Matthew 28:18-20 says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, he says it again, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, just like God was with Jesus, The Holy Ghost is with us. Amen. To the end of the age. This wasn't, some people think, well, I know I was in a church and they pretty much taught, well, that was for the beginning of the church age. That was for just starting up and showing the goodness of God and to start the church. Now, this says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, Mark 16, 15 through 20, we're all familiar with that. I love those scriptures in there. But this is, he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So this is his commission, right? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. There again's the name. That's the authority. That's the power we come in on. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what Jesus is telling us. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord was working with them and confirming the word through accompany signs. Amen. So he was continually working with them. He was with him, as he said in Matthew, even to the end of the age. He was with them, working with them. Signs were happening. People were being healed. Amen. And they went in. They were commissioned upon the name. That was the power and the authority he gave them. Use my name. Amen. See, all authority was lost in the earth when man sinned. God created man, and he gave him authority. He told him to have dominion over all the creatures, over all the land. That was man's position from the very beginning. We were to walk in authority in this earth. We were to have dominion in this earth. Amen. Over everything. Everything was to submit to man. That was God's perfect intention, perfect creation right from the beginning. Amen? But sin entered in and everything got messed up. We lost our position of authority because we then submitted to Satan. Satan became ruler over us. We lost our authority. When Jesus died, part of what he got back was the authority for man to have dominion once again in the earth. This time it comes through the name and faith in the name. Amen? Because man lost authority. Now we have authority back because Jesus got it, gave it to us. So now we go in his name, on his behalf, in his stead. Amen. So what we do in this earth, it's as if Jesus is doing it if we're going in behalf of his name. Amen. So, and we have the right to do it. He's telling us to do it. Oh, can I do this or not? I don't know. I'd really like to pray for him, but I just don't know if I can do it. What did he say? He said, do it, right? Well, some people don't want prayer. Then don't do it. They have a right to refuse it. But if you say, you know what, Jesus loves you so much and he does not want you hurting in your body, can I pray for you? Most people, when they're hurting, they'll say yes. Some people, they're going to fight you to the end. And you can't do anything about that. Make yourself available and then just let it go. Amen. But most of the time, there's an open door for you. Okay? Is that good news or what? I think it's excellent news. Okay, so according to your faith, be it unto you. Just because you've been given authority doesn't mean you believe it. If you don't believe it, you don't operate in it. Do you believe it? That's the bottom line question. Do you believe that you have authority? Do you believe that everything has to submit to that name? This is one thing that has challenged me, and I know for me that I need to get my diet under control. Big deal, right? For me it is. And it's not so matter. I know that there's health issues if you let your body just do whatever it wants to do. You're going to eat too much fat, too much sugar, not exercise, not sleep. I mean, your flesh giving place to flesh, it just fleshes out. So whatever way your flesh tends towards, what it's going to do. But it may sound like a little thing. What am I going to do? What am I going to choose? If God is speaking to me to make a choice and I know it, and I begin to go in that direction and say, okay, I'm not going to have any more caffeine anymore. I'm going to make healthy choices. I'm going to choose fruits over sugar. I'm going to choose vegetables over carbs. You know, I mean, those are, who knows, whatever you're dealing with, it's your choice, you know. I mean, whatever God is speaking to you, he knows you, he knows your body. So I'm not preaching this in any way to put condemnation on anybody's diet or whatever you're dealing with. Deal with it. Just figure it out for yourself. But let's just say God's dealing with me to cut out the brownies and the ho-hos and the frappuccinos and all the good sugary stuff. And I tell myself, okay, you're going to do this. And I make choices, and I'm doing real good, real good, real good. And then my flesh rises up, and it decides it wants a hot fudge sundae. And I say, nope, we're not going to do it. Victory. Yay. Next time, nope, we're not going to do it. Victory twice. Hallelujah. But then, well, it's late and I haven't had dinner. I can justify it. And I go ahead and have it. That's defeat. If God's speaking to me to do something and I don't do it, it's defeat. But it's not just a defeat in obedience. It knocks down my confidence in my word. If I don't submit to my own word, how does that affect my confidence that anyone else or Satan or any demonic thing is going to have to submit to my word? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Well, you don't listen. Why should I? I mean, those thoughts come, right? That's the danger of when God's dealing with us with something and we opt out, we choose not to, is it undermines our confidence in the name, in the word, in the authority that we have. If we don't listen to our own word, why would anybody else? God's really been checking me on that lately. And I think that is more of a danger for me than anything else. And I need to check that. And I know that that is going to boost and bring a huge confidence in me in the area of ministry, because your confidence level just rises. I'm going to do it. All right. Victory and victory and victory and victory and victory. Therefore, when I say something, it's going to happen. Right? Does this make sense? So, This is just something that we all got to check up on ourselves. What are we saying? Are we submitting to the word of God in our own life? And not just the written word. This is important. But his word to our heart. Because he's speaking to us continually. Every day, every hour, he's leading us, he's directing us, he's taking us places. He's trying to get us prepared for things. He's showing us things to come. And yet, what are we doing? Are we doing anything with what he says? Are we playing with it just a little bit? Two, three times we get it right. Then I got to go get that Sunday again. Oh, I won't have a Sunday. That's too big. I'll just have a little ice cream cone. I mean, we can justify. I don't know about you, but I can justify. I've done it in my own life and whittle away like, oh, that's no big deal. That's no big deal. See, I'm doing better. Yeah, but what did God say? Because if I'm not doing what God said, if I'm not submitting to the word of the Lord to me, it's going to undermine confidence that I have walking out the things of God. It affects us greatly. So it sounds like, well, so what? What is your diets? Is it a big deal? If God's dealing with you, it's a huge deal. I know physically that I've dealt with stuff in my body that I didn't need to because I didn't submit when God said to begin with. Cut this out, change that. Does he give me a list, a memo from heaven? He starts speaking to your heart and he starts confirming it. And somehow it just shows up and they'll say something and here's an article and next thing you know, God's checking you again in your heart and somebody else is saying something and you know. You can try to talk yourself out of it. It's only 5 pounds. If it's God, an ounce is a big deal. Hear what I'm saying? Because every step off of his path is going to lead us the wrong direction. I mean, they say a degree or two when you're in an airplane, it can take you huge way off course. We don't have time for games. And I think that's what I'm becoming more and more aware of all the time, is we don't have time to play anymore. We got to get it right. We got to keep it right. We got to check up on ourselves. We have to build the confidence that we have in God. And we ought to have a confidence in God. We ought to be so confident that when he speaks to us and says, you go lay hands on her, that we are well aware that didn't leave Jesus, right? God was with him, right? So when we go to lay hands on somebody, we know God is with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And if he's with me, his power is with me. God anointed him with power, with the Holy Ghost and power. So God's with me, the Holy Ghost is with me, the power's with me. So I'm supposed to go lay hands on somebody and what? I don't know if I can do it. Oh my goodness, can I do this? Is God saying it? Is he leading you? Is he directing you? Then why would we question it? God's with me. He's here right now. His Spirit's in me. He's directing me. He's empowering me. He's the one who said, believers lay hands on the sick. He's the one who promised they shall recover. Amen? So if he says to lay hands on somebody, you can be confident, 100% confident that his Spirit is in you, upon you, and flowing through you. And that anointing will manifest. It will go into them. Now, whether they feel it or not, whether you feel it or not, it does not matter. What matters is that you know you're obeying God. And when you are, there's a contact, a point of contact, and then you release your faith that something is happening. God is doing something. You don't have to know what. You don't have to know how. You don't have to be worried about those things. Amen? What you need to do is just be obedient. That's where faith comes in. Did we hear God? Is he leading us? Did he say something? If he did, then do it. And he will anoint you just like he anointed Jesus. And he's not going to walk away from you. He won't leave you abandoned. He says he'll not leave you as orphans. We're not out here dangling all by ourselves. We're empowered by the greater one. We're commissioned by God himself. He's the one who told us to be about the Father's business, to do this to the end of the age. Not just for the beginning of the church age. It wasn't just for the disciples. It's for the whole entire body of Christ. Amen. It's been given to us. So we need to have confidence in who he is and in what he's done, what he's given us. If you need to walk around your house, say, I'm empowered by the Holy One. I'm anointed by God himself. The anointing resides on the inside of me. He's never leaving me. He's never forsaking me. Amen. He's empowered me. I wonder if I have that picture here. Mm-mm-mm. I do. I love this picture. See this picture? You probably all have seen this before, right? This is somebody. They did an electrophotostatic something or another picture. And it showed the energy in someone's hand just in neutral state. And then they took another one as they were praying for somebody. Do you see that there's power increase and release here? I love when science proves God's word. Love it, love it, love it. They're out to disprove it. But the bottom line is you can never disprove God because God's the one who set things in order to begin with. He says, I will endue you with power from on high. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's not just speaking in tongues. Amen. It's power. It's equipment. Amen. He empowers us to do what he's asked us to do. Whatever it is. Oh, I can't speak to people. You wouldn't believe how many times I said that. I'm so shy. I'm so embarrassed. I can't talk. I left a class at Bible school. Crying when I realized this is all about talking to people. I can't talk to people. And I left that class and I sat and I cried. I mean, tears running down my face thinking, this is pointless. I can't talk to people. Well, God says he's going to empower us to do what we need to do. Then he's going to do it. Whether it's talk to somebody, lay hands on somebody. Amen. Prophesy over somebody. He's going to equip you for the job. It doesn't matter what it is. And you know, bottom line is, you're not equipped to do anything anyways. Just strip yourself of all that nonsense and all that pride, thinking you're so good you can do this, that, or the other. Apart from God, you don't want to do it. It's going to be a flop apart from God. You might be able to skate by and look pretty good, but if God's not in it, where's the power? So what we want to do is we want to hook up with him right from the start. Amen. We want to recognize we need to be one with him. And as we yield ourselves and connect with Him and put our confidence in that flow of the Spirit in us and through us, then a confidence rises up. God is so good, but He's empowered us, He's anointed us, He's authorized us, and we need to know this isn't a game, and it isn't just for a select few. These are things that He's commissioned the body of Christ to be doing. Amen. Amen. Now, there are ministry gifts, and there are specific things. If you're in ministry and you're a prophet, it's not just because you prophesy on occasion doesn't mean you're a prophet. Amen. Prophet is a higher level, and God is going to equip you with different things that come forth for the entire body of Christ, and it steers the body of Christ into different things. Amen? Yet God can use any member of the body of Christ in a gift of prophecy, a simple gift of prophecy, at any point in time. He can use you in words of wisdom or words of knowledge about past or present or future things in the mind of God. God will reveal it. He might show you a picture. Pastor Gary is very visionary. He sees things. I don't. It's not me at all. Paint me a picture. Fax it to me, something, but I don't see. Is that my fault? That's not my gifting. It says we're not wise to compare ourselves with ourselves and measure ourselves against ourselves. It says you're unwise. Don't feel like you're less than or more than somebody else because you have something or don't have something. It's as the Spirit wills. Amen? And if God begins to use you in an area and you begin to yield yourself to Him and you're obedient, then you're going to be coming up in that. And if you wrap that in love, wah! It's the best of the best because faith works by love. And if it's not in love, we're getting to religious dead works. We trip ourselves up. And we become a mess. But we need to have everything in love. Our motivation has to be love. Jesus was moved by compassion. As He was moved by compassion, He followed the Spirit out. He did what He had to do. He wrapped it in love. There is never any doubt about God's love operating through Jesus. Never. Great men and women of God that you really see moving, in great gifts, you see them in love. People crash and burn when they get in pride and they walk out of love. Pride goes before the fall. Anything you have from God, it's from God, and always recognize it's from God. If you're quick to give God glory, He's faithful with little will be given much. There's increase, glory to glory, grace to grace, increase upon increase. So as you're yielding and developing, there's always upward movement with it. When we get in trouble is when we start getting prideful. Did you see what I just did? God's using me now. Well, I can't do anything apart from Him. And as long as we keep that in focus. Years ago said, if it's God, it's good. If it's bad, it's me. Because God is never, ever going to be bad. If something comes out and it's not good, God never gets the blame for that. That's my flesh or something mixed in with it. Amen? But if I'm yielding to God, it's going to be good. Amen? He's so faithful, and He so desires. He wants the whole body of Christ to move up in the things of God. He wants us all to increase in glory and grace. Amen. He doesn't want to play with any of us. I mean, it's time to put on our big boy pants, big girl pants. Come on now. Amen. Step up and do what's right, no matter what it is, no matter how hard it may seem. And that's just some tweaking we got to do up here. It's not hard if it's God. Because if God's in it, there's grace. You might not have stepped into it yet, but when you do, it's easy because there's grace to do it. I know about worked myself into a frenzy first few trips overseas. I would just almost work up a lather trying to. It was terrible. I would just get so nervous about the responsibility and what I was doing, the place I was going, what I had to do. And then I felt like I had to be so prepared. Everything, every, you know, line upon line, have it all put together. And there was a season where God would not allow me to do that. And it was tough. I just sweated it out because I would plan for time. And it would be taken from me. And then I'd be left there, and I'd have to get up. And I had not had the time that I thought I needed to have. And I would just be sweating it. And I'd get up, and I'd step in, and God showed up. And he moved through me. He spoke through me. And he brought revelation. I think, that's pretty good. I'll write that down. Seriously. And it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't me because I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. But that's the deal. If we yield to God, it brings increase. It comes above and beyond ourselves. And that's what we have to offer other people. Healing anointing isn't your anointing. It's not like turning on a water faucet. It's not you, it's him in you, flowing through you as you yield to him. But if you take him out of it, what do you have to offer? Absolutely nothing. So if you get all full of pride thinking, woo-hoo-hoo, look at me, it's over. But God, always give him the glory. Always give him the credit for everything. But the biggest thing that I want to get through is we have it. We have the grace. We have the anointing. We have the empowerment. Amen. And it's purpose to do a job. So we need to get a little gutsier than what we have been. And begin to move out in some things where maybe we've held back. And just walk forward and confident that, hey, God's with me. This is not a problem. Thank you, Lord. Just like Pastor Gary was sharing on Sunday, sometimes it's not always received like you would think. You have a picture painted just how wonderful it's going to be received and how glorious God is going to show. And yet, if people are not open to it, your job is to deliver the goods. Whether they receive it or not, there are seeds that are sown. And some of it's rocky soil. Some of it's not received. But they have opportunity to hear. And you don't know that the next guy down the block isn't going to come and water that seed. It might not be for your harvest. Might be for somebody else's harvest because that seed's got to grow a bit for its harvest. Amen? But we can have confidence that whatever God has us to do is presenting to somebody else his goodness. And then he will call them to account for that. He will build on that. And we don't have to worry about that. But we do need to have faith in the God-given authority and the power that has been given to us. We will never walk into it. We'll never use it. And we have great equipment. We have the name that's above every name. Amen. We have the power. We have the goods. Amen. And Jesus didn't take credit for the works that he did. He gave glory to God. John 14:10 says this, "The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own authority." This is Jesus saying this. "But the Father who dwells in me does the works." He always glorified the Father. Jesus always exalted the Father. Always. Amen. John 5:19 says this, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself." Now that's where we need to get that stark realization of ourselves. We can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. That means he has to spend some time seeking the Father, doesn't he? We need to do the same. Time with God is of utmost importance. Your ministry, your life, the outflow of God in you is dependent on you with God. If you're not spending time in his word, you're not spending time in his presence, worshiping or reading the word or just communing with him, you're not going to have anything to offer. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's nothing in there, nothing's coming out. Amen? It's important. It's a life flow. It's really what it is. It's a life flow. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. So he saw from God, he heard from God, he did what God showed him to do, and we're to do the same thing. Amen? But it's not going to do you any good to say, "I never hear from God. I just never hear from God." They always hear from God. "She's got dreams and visions. I never have dreams and visions. I never hear from God." You're digging your own grave there. You're going to be stuck in that rut forever. Got to change the words. I hear. The word of God says, his sheep hear his voice. Therefore, I hear his voice. I'm a sheep. I'm a child of God. I hear from God. Amen? Whether you think I don't hear, then don't say it. I'll hear. Don't say, "I don't know what to do." Say, "I'll know. When I need to know, I'll know. I'll know what to do." Because we get in big, 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 big trouble when we say, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know." Yep. So we wanna agree with what God says, that we hear him. We hear his voice. We know. We're led. I'm led by the Spirit of God. When I need to know, I'll know. God isn't late. He's never late. He's right on time. He might not do it a month in advance. Wouldn't you like that? I would love everything laid out a month in advance. I'm a planner. I like it that way. But sometimes, I don't know till I step up to the plate. And that's when I need to know, right? I don't need to know before that, but when it's time to step up the plate, time to take that swing, that's when you need to know, right? And that's by that point in time, we'll know. And Pastor Gary, one thing that he says sometimes is for people that just run out the minute they first get the inkling that they're supposed to do something, they're off and running. Oftentimes, God will not tell them right away. because he'll say, I want you to go to Ghana. Yes. Next year. So, you know, we just have to trust him in his timing. He'll make it known. He'll make it clear. And we don't have to fight him on it. We don't have to. I remember there's another thing that was just a simple, simple thing. But I was sweating again where by the end of first year, you have to declare what you're going into the second year in Bible school. Whether you're going into pastors, evangelists, teachers, youth, children, helps, what area, missions. And they start presenting every group what they're going into the, you know, halfway through the year, they begin that. Nothing seemed right. And I started after the maybe third time they presented something, I start getting nervous about it. I thought, I don't fit in anything. I can't see anything else. Where am I supposed to go? You know, in my mind, pastors were men, and I didn't want anything to do with that. And yet, when it came time, there was a time when in prayer school, we're praying for pastors. I'm minding my own business, just praying for pastors. And had three different people, Aretha Hagen and Patsy Caminiti and Kathy Creek, all came over at different times, laid hands on me and prayed. What are you doing that for? But I knew by the end of the day in my spirit that that was the direction that I needed to choose to go into the next year. Was going to the pastor's group, which was totally against my thinking and nothing I would have chosen myself. But God, by the time, and all that time I sat there stressing and sweating and worried and thinking and pulling my hair out and feeling like I all this pressure on me to make a decision, I just needed to relax and just know, hey, by the time I need to make the decision, I'll know. But I didn't have enough in me at that point. And I think we can do ourselves a whole big, huge, gigantic favor if we just relax a little bit and have confidence. God's going to get to me what I need to know by the time I need to know it. And then it just takes a lot of pressure off of us. He's so good. He doesn't want us stroking out about anything. Seriously. Getting worried. And, you know, we just do ourselves a disservice. We do our bodies a disservice. And when you start getting stressed out on the inside, then it starts coming out on the people around you. There's all sorts of things that just go wrong. When we get in faith, faith is a rest. It's right in the midst of the storm. Jesus was laying in the boat, wasn't he? That storm, the winds, the waves, all the disciples are freaking out. Were you going to do anything? Don't you care about us? What's going on? He's just napping. Just resting. And that's the place that we really need to get to, is when we, doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter what's happening to our kids, our parents, our house, our cars, anything around us, our businesses, it doesn't matter. If we're obeying God and we're trusting him, it's all going to work one way or another. And we don't have to stress and put it on other people. Physically destroy ourselves in the process. It's just not worth it. I'm just going to reiterate a few scriptures that just show, again, just where Jesus, his competence was not in himself. Hebrews 2:14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, speaking of Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power over death, that is, the devil. So he partook of flesh and blood in order to conquer flesh and blood, in order to conquer the enemy and destroy those things. So he absolutely shared in our humanity. He came in flesh and blood. Amen. Jesus is unique. We can't categorize. He was God and man. He came as a man, but he emptied himself. It says Hebrews 4:14. I'm going to just read a couple scriptures and then we'll talk. Otherwise, I'll go on too much. Hebrews 4:14. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. So this would not be the truth. It wouldn't be a truthful scripture if he wasn't literally tempted, but he never gave in to temptation. He was flesh and blood. He was a man. Temptations were set before him, and they had to tempt him, or they couldn't be temptations, but he never yielded to them. He never yielded to sin. Amen. He conquered flesh. Philippians 2:7 says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. Some translations say he emptied himself rather than he made himself of no reputation. He emptied himself of all of the godly attributes that he had. His omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, and he laid them all aside and he became a man. In other words, the all-knowing, all-powerful, he can be everywhere at any time. He laid that aside and he functioned as a man while he was here on earth, dependent upon God to do what he was called to do, to hear from him, to be led by him, to be anointed by him, to be empowered by him, to speak what he said. He functioned as a man, dependent upon God, and he revealed and showed to us so that we could do the same. Amen? So we're without excuse. But I think the thing that the enemy has done is take it to a place where it's beyond us. Well, we can't do that. We're not Jesus. We can't function like the disciples or the apostles. We're not them. That was for the beginning of the church age. And we disqualify ourselves from the things that God has called us to do because we think we can't do that because, no, he emptied himself and learned to hear and depend on and move with and be empowered by God. Therefore, we can too. Amen? It puts us, it just brings things in a whole different place. John 14:12 simply puts it this way, that the works that I do, Jesus is saying this now. This is before he went to the cross. He was laying out all the things that were important to him that they would know so they could function on the earth when he wasn't here. He says, the works that I do, you shall do also. Amen. He was commissioning them right then. He was telling them right then, painting that picture for them, that this isn't just for me. This is for all of you as well. And it looks like we're going to be out of time. So give you a few minutes break, go to the bathroom and do whatever you need to do so that when Pastor gets here, he can start up with his group. So, Father, we just thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you that you give us ears to hear, that you speak to us and through us, that you've equipped us and empowered us. We know that we are wholly and solely and completely dependent upon you in order to rise up to the place that you've called us to. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, for your anointing and equipping, and we pray that you be glorified. And right now, Lord, we lift up Mike and Caitlin and just pray that you would supernaturally move through them in their lives and in his body, that there'd be total and complete restoration in his body. We thank you for them and pray that everything they have need of pertaining to life and godliness would be given unto them, that you would give the doctors wisdom and help them find a way to help. In Jesus' name, amen.